This is the last green Sunday of the year. 38 Sundays of the year we wear green. At least I wear green. Next Sunday is the feast of Christ the King, the final Sunday of the ecclesiastical year. And I trust that you've noticed that as we move toward the fulfillment of another church year, the Sunday readings have become a little bit more, well, a little more disturbing, a little more graphic, a little more apocalyptic. And today's readings are no exception. St. Paul exhorts his readers to be productive as the day of the Lord approaches. In the Gospel, our Lord predicts the destruction of the temple and the various signs that will herald the end of the world as we know it. These readings look toward the end, and they caution us that we will not know when the day of the Lord will come. Elsewhere in Scripture, we read that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. Now, most of us have not had the experience of being watchful and on guard. Some of you who served in the military can relate to this better than we, but we've all seen it in movies. A platoon goes out on a mission at night, and some soldiers are assigned to be on watch so that some others can sleep without fear of being attacked or ambushed. And the soldiers on watch are to look alive and cannot be caught sleeping. They must be with their wits about them because they never know when something might happen. Now, as Christians, we too are called to be ready and watchful and awake. We're all called to be on active duty for our Lord. You know, there are no Christians in the reserves. There are no Christians who lead regular lives and then occasionally practice Christianity. At least there ought not to be. We are to use our talents wisely and be prepared for the day of the Lord. And it's not easy to be ready to wait in a world that knows no waiting. We hate waiting. We say, be patient. And patient comes from the Latin root passus, which means suffering. To wait is to suffer. We want everything now, like McDonald's. And we live in a world where many are asleep to God's presence. But we, on the other hand, are to be ready and watchful, but not in the sense of the lunatic fringe. You know, we all know those Christians who are preoccupied with the second coming of our Lord. They're so heavenly minded, as it were, that they're of no earthly value whatsoever. And you've seen those bumper stickers. If this car is empty, the driver has been raptured. Please. Now, some groups take this advice to be watchful, as I said, to the extreme. They might perch themselves on mountaintops, peering into the sky for Jesus' return. Others spend time calculating the precise number of the righteous who will be swept up into heaven. And if you're into it, there are plenty of books, not at Books a Million, because that's not a real bookstore, but plenty of books available that will tell you the exact date of the Lord's return and all the events that lead up to it. Robert Tilton, remember him? He thought that the port wine stain on Gorbachev's forehead was the mark of the beast, and that was going to be the end of the world. The Jehovah's Witnesses predicted the end of the world in 1914 and then in 1985. As far as I know, we're still here. Jesus warns us about these kind of predictions in the gospel. Take heed, he says, For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, or the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And I think that somewhere in all of that endlessly trying to predict the end of the world is an escapist fantasy. Have you ever noticed when society becomes more deranged and the economy goes bad and families are falling apart and the certainties that we relied upon in the world are crumbling away, people want to run away and join the circus? And that's what this is, an escapist fantasy. And St. Paul is dealing with that in the epistle today. He's telling the Thessalonians, don't be idle. Do your work. He was dealing with a group of people who believed that our Lord's second coming was so imminent that they've stopped working. They're sitting around watching Springer on television all day. Busybodies. Idle. But no escapist fantasies for us, because we know, you know, that Jesus does not save you from your life. He saves you in your life. And reasonable Christian belief calls us to another kind of watchfulness, another kind of preparation for the day of the Lord, which does not involve peering into the heavens or constantly taking our spiritual temperature. Lore has it that the German reformer Martin Luther was tending his garden, and someone came up to him and asked him what he would do if he knew that Jesus were to return that very day. And Luther's legendary reply was, I'll keep tending my garden. Now, that doesn't mean that Luther was nonchalant about the day of the Lord's coming. It didn't mean that he wasn't serious about his faith. Luther, rather, knew that he was a child of God, a child of the light, a child of the day, and to be really sober and watchful and awake is not about paranoia, it's not about trying to work our way to salvation, it's about all the baptized, all the children of the Father, using the talents given to them by God to do God's work while it is still day. Do not be weary in well-doing, says St. Paul, knowing that full well when the Lord does come, we will not have to worry. We will not have to cower in fear. The day of the Lord, whatever that is, at the end of time, at the end of our lives, whenever it is, should not cause us trepidation or fear, but rather be a source of celebration, because every moment, every hour, every day is the day of the Lord. Because he is Emmanuel, he is God with us. He came in the past, he comes to us in the present, and he will come again at the end to be sure. And we don't have to be peering into the skies to find him, because he is with us. He's constantly coming to us. In the sacrament of his body and blood, in the faces of his children, in the eyes of the poor, and in his word read and preached. So our job is neither to be preoccupied or fearful about that day, but to live each day as God has given it to us, doing our best to do God's will. Because Jesus assures us that if we endure, we will gain our lives, and not a hair on our head will perish. Let us stand, and in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm our faith in the Lord who comes again. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.